Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, Numbers 771 to 850. MR Number 844. Longing for Jesus to Come. Family reunion at Christ's return. Your father and I have felt desirous that Edson and Emma should be with us this summer in the mountains of Colorado, and that Willie and Mary should also join us. This would certainly be most gratifying to your parents, and you could be a great help to us. But the question arises, would this be duty? If the Lord sanctions, all is well. With His blessing resting upon such a reunion, it would be to us one of the greatest privileges. But if the Lord does not guide you to take this course, in no case follow human judgment, for your journey would prove a failure. I dare not act selfishly because this union of our family would be pleasant and agreeable, and urge you to come, leaving a position of trust where you are. No, my children, go to God for your duty. Follow the leadings of His Spirit. I know you could help us much, and wish it could be right for you to be with us. Yet I am inclined to think the Lord does not will this. I look forward to the coming of Christ when, if we are faithful, we shall be united, no more to be separated. Alpine clouds remind Ellen White of Christ's coming in northern Italy. There are many towns and villages all through the mountain gorges and through the valleys. One valley opens into another. We see banks of cloud, white as the whitest snow, looming up in the mountain clefts and increasing in dimension. It is a beautiful sight. It looks like the billows of the sea, but perfectly white. These white clouds are advancing, rolling first down the mountainsides and then rising higher and spreading over the snow-capped mountains. They appear like mountains of snow in the noonday sun. It was a picture of loveliness upon which I delighted to gaze. Some took the shape of thrones. I thought of Christ coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I can never give in language a description of this sublime scene. Was it not such a cloud as this that was sometimes the refuge of God's people, that they might escape in its friendly shelter from the sight of their persecutors? 29. 1885, 12. Entries from the Diary of Ellen G. White. First visit to Italy, November 26th to December 15th, 1885. No more clatter and misery. You cannot tell how I long for retirement. The noise of carriages on the stone pavements, the clatter of wooden shoes, the people coming and going constantly on foot, the baby carriages, the women, men, and boys wheeling their handcarts, screeching out their merchantable goods, is so confusing. You scarcely know where you are. Surely all this will have an end. Jesus is coming. I long to hear the trumpet sound and the dead come forth from the graves. 101, 1886, page 3. To Addie Walling, Ellen White's great niece from Copenhagen, Denmark, July 25th, 1886. One leading blacksmith would not unite with the strikers. A large body of soldiers was appointed to conduct him to his shop and from his shop and guard him while at work, else the strikers would have murdered him. There are 1,500 worthy workers in this city who are idle. Some help was given last winter to the very destitute. Some men came in the prime of life, as well as men of gray hairs, famished for the want of food. They had been unwilling to receive charity, but were driven to it by hunger. This winter will be worse. Work has been less, and men made desperate with hunger will do terrible things. Oh, how glad I shall be to see Jesus, our Deliverer, come, and this terrible misery come to an end. 102, 1886, page 3. To my very dear children, from Copenhagen, Denmark, July 25th, 1886. Experience as a little girl. My son's little girl, who was 7 years old 3 months ago, was with her mother one day. Her mother was reading to her about the Lord coming in power and great glory. She listened attentively. At last she said, "What? Jesus coming to our world?" "Yes, my child, Jesus is coming to our world." "Oh," said the child. "Why didn't you tell me before? When is he coming? We cannot tell just how soon he will come, but Christ is coming very soon. Well, how soon is he coming? We cannot tell you the time, but Jesus is surely coming to our world. Oh, said she, I don't think I am ready. I don't think I have been a good girl all my life. What shall I do? Why, you must give your heart to Jesus and try to overcome your own will and overcome having your own way. Oh, but, Mother, what can I do? You know, Mother, it is hard for me to give up my own will. I am afraid Christ will come and find I have a will of my own. What shall I do, Mother? You must ask him to give you a heart to do his will. I can't wait till night, Mother, to pray. Won't you pray with me right here? What conviction upon that child's heart! Tears streamed down her cheeks. She said, Dear Lord, I've got a will that is wicked, a will that is hard for me to give up. Will you help me, Jesus, for I don't know what to do? Well, the Lord heard that prayer, and he did give help. She has had a precious experience. She has been a changed child from that day. I gave my life to him when I was 11 years old. I remember the experience of that little girl was enacted in my life. I picked up a little piece of paper in the road. That paper said that a man was going to preach that the Lord was coming. I was so afraid that he would come before I was ready. I wrestled with God, and he gave me his blessing, and he gave me peace. I went to my young companions. I told them. I pled with them. I got them to bow with me before God in prayer. I was possessed of a hasty temper. I began to pray for the Lord to help me overcome this. I began to wrestle in prayer for God's grace and blessing, and he gave it to me. When we have God's blessing with us, we can improve our powers so that we can render back glory to God. 12, 13, 16. Sermon preached in Potterville, Michigan, November 25th, 1888. I long for Jesus to come. There is so much work to be done. I can help if the Lord is with me. If Jesus is not with me, I can do nothing. Oh, I long for Jesus to come. I long for that home in the kingdom of glory where there will be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. But it is ours to be faithful day by day in this life. I have been sick, am still weak, but not a bit discouraged. 64A, 1889, page 3. To Mary Kelsey White from Battle Creek, Michigan, March 1889. The experience needed today. We each have work to do, the work of proclaiming to the world the last message of warning. In clear, distinct tones, we must give this message. But I greatly fear that though we have had such great light, we are not as earnest as we should be. Let us study the words. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 to 10 quoted. Just such an experience as this is what we need today. We need the Holy Spirit and assurance. Living power must attend the message of Christ's second coming in the clouds of heaven. We must not rest until we see many souls converted to the blessed hope of the Lord's appearing. The message wrought a real work that turned souls from idols to serve the living God. The work to be done today is just as real, and the truth is just as much truth, only we are to give the message with as much more earnestness as the coming of the Lord is nearer. The message for this time is positive, simple, and of the deepest importance. We must act like men and women who believe. We are not half awake to the perils and the dangers that we must be prepared to meet. Waiting, watching, working, praying, warning the world, this is our work. 150, 1902, pages 2, 3. To Professor Irwin from Los Angeles, California, September 22nd, 1902. White Estate, April 27th, 1981.